and welcome to How Fitting, the podcast for fashion designers and entrepreneurs about creating clothing and growing a business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values. I'm your host, Allison Haynes. Before we get started, do you want to get your designs to production without compromising your brand's fit, vision, or values? My pattern making services are tailored to help women's wear slow fashion brands do just that. You can learn more and book a free introduction call at howfittingpatterns.com to see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Now on to the episode. Today I'm joined by Asia Cohen of Transcendent Active. So welcome, Asia.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison, for having me.
Of course. For those listening who are meeting you for the first time, could you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So my name is Asia. I am the owner, creator, and founder of Transcendent Active, a modest athleisure brand made in America from sustainable materials. I launched in 2020 with one style, and now we have a full collection.
Wow. So cool. And congratulations for launching during probably the worst time to launch a business, and then you've still grown despite of that.
Yes, I know. It's, some people might say it was the worst time. I think maybe it was the best time. You know, it can kind of go either way.
Yeah.
There was only one way to go from there. It was up. So it couldn't have been worse than that.
True. So yeah, you just said like it maybe is the best time. So what made it kind of a good time for you, and what made you start a brand?
So I'll say why it was a really, I think, a good time actually. I was in a sort of a good headspace as much as I could have been. It was COVID. I have three children. We were making it work from home. Everybody was like, you know, it became a school. It became my husband's office. It became my office. I would, you know, be managing my kids and hopefully teaching them something during the day and having fun. And then I would be up late at night working downstairs on Transcendent. But, it was a good time because I didn't know anything. You know, I think sometimes, especially now, even that I've been in business for, you know, 3.5 years, I sometimes look back and think, oh, well, maybe I'm, you know, I'm like forcing, you know, a square peg into a round hole, and it doesn't feel authentic or organic. And, you know, and then I kind of reevaluate the situation of like, oh, wait a minute, I need to have more fun with this, or, you know, I need to step back from this. And do it this way. And I think when I was just starting out, kind of like with anybody, I guess, starting out with their brand, company, you know, whatever they're launching, you don't really know. So you're like, okay, well, we're going to just throw some things on the wall and hope it sticks, and we're going to build it from there. And then we'll go with it after. But it was all like so new and fun and nerve-wracking and exciting that you didn't have so much pressure that it needed to work, you know, like being in business where you need to like, you know, report to some, you know, board member and give earnings or something. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Let's see. And if it doesn't work, okay, great. You know, like at least I try. So yeah. I think that was really the exciting part. And even still, like I'm such a new brand. Like I feel like I'm still in that first year. So I guess as a new brand, you're kind of in that first year for probably 5 years. you're trying to figure it out. I want to have fun with it. I want that to seep through. And then when it doesn't, you can feel it and other people can feel it. So I think that that's important. And I think sometimes when you do start something on your own, you get a little too serious too quick and it shows. So that's been my feel as a business owner. You know, I didn't know I was going to ever start my own brand. I'm like learning how to be a business owner every day. So I think that that's like the most amazing education of this whole thing too.
Yeah, for sure. And I love so many things that you said. Like, it sounds like it's almost kind of like the ignorance is bliss, and you didn't put the pressure on yourself to meet a certain number and just had fun with the process and the experiment of it, which is wonderful. And I totally agree. Everyone is figuring it out as they go in business, you know.
Even when I worked in corporate and we had, you know, millions and millions of dollars working, you know, for huge brands, they still were figuring it out as they go. They're just better at faking it.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Like, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. They're just like, you know, riding the wave until they need to think about reevaluating it. But yeah. I think that that's like the most important part, especially since I am the business, you know, I mean, I have people that work for me and help out, but it's really me like kind of putting it all together in a way. Mm-hmm. So it has to be for fun and it can't be too much because it's exhausting mentally.
In fashion in general, I feel like is like that. And you have experience in the industry at some big brands, right? So you didn't jump into this completely blind to the industry side, right?
No. Whenever I hear of someone kind of doing that, which I do give major kudos to someone doing that, I think that I had a major step up, just like anybody who's worked in fashion and then started their own thing. Because when I talk to friends, they'll call or come to me even before I started Transcendent, just consulting for other people who wanted to start brands. They're taking so much more time than it would take me. Like I could do this in not a lot of time because I knew this person and this person and this person, or I knew how to do something. And I was just shaving things off, like shaving so much time that it would take a person that had no idea. Mm-hmm. So I do think that was like a huge win. And even during COVID, I was able to really start the brand quickly because I knew so many other people. So it wasn't as difficult as it could have been if I just, you know, came into it kind of cold turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what were some of those kind of like biggest things that you learned from your roles in the industry before starting this brand? And then what were some of the things like in those roles or that you realized about the industry that you were like, no, I want to start my own thing and maybe do it differently?
Well, that part's easy. We can talk about sustainability like forever because that's like a major reason why I started Transcendent and why I needed to leave corporate fashion. But learning, like I'll talk about the positives, really knowing your customer. I think that that's a huge thing that obviously corporate does, you know, super well. So you really need to know your customer, and you need to come up with a quality product. I think quality is the biggest thing. It doesn't have to be the most exciting product. It doesn't have to have all these bells and whistles and everything, but if the quality is amazing and the fabric is amazing, people are going to love it. So I think that was really important. And then another, which I guess I would say is a positive, it could be looked upon as kind of both. In corporate, you know, as in people in fashion, like we get so excited. Like I know how I am myself, like, and I've been trying to be more of like, you know, learning my business side of my brand because it is my finances and it is my, you know, livelihood. And I can't just be me, the designer of like, let's add every single thing to the line. Woohoo. Like, you know, I have to be very smart.
You're doing things on your own dollar instead of like the corporate dollar.
But I think something in corporate where we're putting, you know, 30 tops together. We don't need 30 tops. And then it becomes, you know, those are 30 styles times however many SKUs and however many colors and, you know, all these things. We don't need 200 tops. In a line. Like, I think focusing on what you really do well and adding on from that is really, it's super crucial. And I did learn that obviously from corporate, and, you know, hope to carry that into my own brand, which is hard as a designer, because you do want to have fun and add this and that and this, you know. Mm-hmm. People really want this. They want the thing that you're really good at.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, oh, and then talking about the things that I didn't want to do in fashion anymore and why I started Transcendent. I guess before sustainability too, it was really because I have three kids. I had my third baby when I went back to my last full-time job, and I thought, why am I here? What am I doing? What is the point of this? I'm like schlepping to get here. I'm spending all this time. I'm in this office. It's like I felt like a dead end kind of job of just like, okay, this is the job for now until I find something else. And it wasn't so exciting. And it just didn't go with my lifestyle, my family lifestyle. Like I needed to be able to manage both. And if it was such a, if it was a fabulous, fabulous job, yeah, I would have made it work, but it wasn't. So I just thought, well, this isn't, I'm not winning at anything here by being here. So I think that being able to be, working from home, being around my family, I teach yoga at the same time as running my brand, being able to do more of that and all of the other things that either like are my passions or I care deeply about, I think that that's really important because I don't really think that we need to be in an office every day in order to be, producing things. Especially, around all these
I
other people.
agree.
Like we're doing the same thing right now and we're on a Zoom call. It's fine. So that was one thing. And also the sustainability part of the business was really, it was really getting to me. And I didn't even know because in fashion, you're not like allowed to breathe. You just start your season and it becomes an endless season of like, oh, I was at that job for 7 years or something, of like one continuous season. You're never taking a breath. You're never like looking back and thinking, oh, okay, what do I want this to look like holistically? And you're just producing at this rate where you have no idea where it's coming from, where it's going. You don't have time to think. It's just moving so quickly. And I thought that that was wrong. And they're not breeding you to be even, a better person or thinking about it. We're just here to like produce, make money, and move on. And if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell, but hopefully it'll sell. So that really was something that I thought was, was not going to be the way that I was going to run a business. And even, now, every time I tell people that I make in America, they all say, or well, the first thing they say is, oh, so do you make in China? I'm like, no, I make it in Los Angeles. And everyone's shocked. It's like kind of crazy that people are so shocked. I'm like, okay,
It's like,
yeah,
oh, we can do that here.
like it's amazing. Or, it's like saying, do you make in China and do you sell on Amazon? And when I say no, they're like, how are you even alive as a business? I'm like, oh, I don't know, but people do value that. It is important and it is possible.
Yeah, that's wonderful to know that you've been able to. It sounds like you were very clear about like kind of the lifestyle values you have, as well as I know you're very clear on your customer and kind of the values that your business is built on
Yeah.
from a product and,
Because
lifestyle
I think
side there.
fashion, we're not
Can
built
you
on
talk about?
values at all. We're built on exploiting other people's values to benefit our pocket, but we're not built on values. And I would probably say that to every old boss, like, and they would probably agree. So it's not that kind of industry. And I don't think it's your fault either. Like, I don't
But
want to
I
put
think
it like
it
so guilty because I was working in the industry for so long and obviously still am. Because it's not your fault. Like, I don't think that we were to blame. I just think that that's kind of the card that was dealt. And you're working so quickly that you're in it and you can't think. So there's nothing wrong with that, and I don't think anyone should feel guilty about it.
But I mean, it sounds like you're doing things, you have this opportunity and you're making it work to do things differently and to honor those values with your brand now. So what are some of those, you've mentioned some of them, sustainability, kind of work life balance. Are there any other values that are kind of cornerstone to Transcendent Active
So
and how you run your business now?
inclusivity. Obviously, because it is a modest brand, I think, when I was working in corporate in, I always have designed activewear. We're not really thinking about inclusive activewear. Not everybody is either a certain size, and not everyone is a certain person that's comfortable with showing parts of their body. So I think that, the biggest value really is like being something for that other kind of person. They're not even other, but like, the other person that the main industry is not really catering to. And letting all people be have a chance to be seen. And seen in a way where they're not just like seen as like an afterthought, because we do that a lot in fashion of like, oh yeah, I need that top to also go up to plus, or I need it for petite, or I need a longer sleeve so it caters to, a modest customer or something. Like actually designing with those people, those, quote unquote, what corporate would maybe call afterthoughts, as not the afterthought. They're the thought. Like these are the people. And there's a hell of a lot of them. Like we shouldn't be ignoring these people. They have something to say and they need something that makes them feel good about who they are. So that's that other
I
value,
love
like
that.
making it for, not maybe, the typical corporate fashion customer to fit in and giving them the space.
And yeah, I love just how you've kind of approached this and everything, and that's kind of my philosophy with like how I see fashion is we should create clothes that fit with our whole lifestyle and values and fit the customer. I mean, that's kind of like the whole point of this podcast too, is hearing how different brands do that. And sharing kind of this other side of fashion that it doesn't have to be the, mass market corporate. We're gonna disregard
I
the
know.
humanness of the people working in designing the clothes and the people wearing the clothes, and instead we're gonna,
Yeah.
honor the people
I think that's the
on all
best part
sides
of being
of this
able to
product.
produce in
So
America is that I just text my factory. Like, I call her, I text her, I've been there, I know them. I send them like a Merry Christmas text, I send them a Happy Thanksgiving text. like my one factory, I have two factories that I work with and they're both run by women. And I texted Raquel, the one she does my tops and dresses, and I said, she said, oh, I just sent that out, or oh, I'm gonna have that for you in like a week. And I just said, okay, great, you're the best. Like that's just, I would write that in any text with like, my mom, my husband, something like, oh, you're the best, love you. And she was like, wow, no one said that to me before. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. Like, that's like my heart is like feeling so nice right now. Like, oh, okay. Like, I thought that was really sweet and also kind of sad of like, really? You're amazing. Like, if you weren't here, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be here, Raquel. So, like, I'm so
Yeah,
excited.
no, nobody's kind of acknowledged.
The acknowledgement, or like you just said, like the humanness. I probably won't be able to, if I was making, in China and or in India, I wouldn't maybe be able to say those types of things or write to them as easily. I mean, I know I have, WhatsApp and you can message, but it's a little different, and language barrier or just cultural barrier, even through texting, is kind of different. But the fact that she's just in LA, she gets it. I get it. I met her, it's kind of nice. It's nice. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, it is. I have those moments of getting to know the people.
Yeah, and I'm like a big shop small person in general, and like, especially when I used to live in Brooklyn, of having to, I didn't have a car and you're walking in your neighborhood to get all of your things. And like, I had my guy for this. Like, I'd buy my bread from this guy and I'd buy my olives from this guy, or I'd buy my, meat from this guy or my veggies from that guy. I love, like I'm Italian. So it's like, I got a guy, like, I got a guy for this. Now I got a girl, but I still say, I got a guy. And I love that. Like, I go to my guy for this thing, and then we chat, and I know about his life or her life. And like, it's nice. It's the same thing with like running this like small American-made business. Like, I know what's going on. It's not the same thing. So, and it really, I think it makes the product just more romantic, and you feel that connection because clothing has such a connection. And I
It
think
does.
my customers love that. They watch me doing, funny little things on my Instagram stories or whatever. They see my family and they're like, "Oh, wow. I didn't just get this from some random factory in China and I don't know anything about them."
Yeah, they're more invested in it and feel like they've like found a place to belong when they're, somebody else that's like living life, maybe doing the same things, maybe they also do yoga and, they can
I love
connect
that.
over that.
Yeah, I think that, people, especially with the rising costs of everything, and it's just hard to live, and I get that. But I think that people are not still afraid to spend money. I think they're in hopefully, and in my opinion, I think they're wiser about how they spend their money. It's like, okay, everything right now is kind of up. But I'm going to give it to the person where I really care about what they're doing or where that money is going, not just like, okay, I'm going to just give it to Amazon again. So I do think that for as much as people want, mass produced things, I do really think that they believe in small businesses and in the value of relationships when they're buying products. Hopefully. I hope.
I mean, your brand's been around for 3.5 years, and it sounds like you've very much grown your collection, and I'm assuming that's a
I
testament
hope.
to
I
that
think
people do agree with that.
I
They
think people agree. Yeah, I do. I think people agree.
Cool.
So it's real, you want to build the relationships. Like sometimes, I have my corporate brain on a lot of the times, and I do have to like step back from that sometimes. But you're so conditioned, like, because I was trained in that way of to be, okay, wait a minute, I'm a small brand. Okay, this is what I want. I'm small. I'm not Ralph Lauren yet. Like, we'll get there. You kind of have to think like people are here. You want to talk to your customer. As much as I put out a, like an Instagram post or I put out an email, that'll get people's attention. But really, when maybe they ask you a question in an email, oh, what size? Or they send you a DM and they say, hey, what would look good on me? It's like personal shopping. They want to know, like, oh, I can come to Asia and like she'll help me out. I think that's nice. Because so
And
many times
that's,
people will
you're not
say,
gonna get that at the big
yeah,
stores.
I'm not like some AI bot that's like just writing you like, oh, please buy this in size medium, so
So have
sometimes
you?
it's a lot because then you're talking to your customers a lot, but that's a part of it.
For sure. Have you ever had your, like, you sound like you're very clear on your values. Have you ever had to make a difficult decision in order to stay true to those values? And if so, what was that decision and why was it so tricky?
Making like boss decisions, since I feel like, I'm so new to being a boss, is hard because you put like, you care about people and the people that work for you care about. But it was a situation this past year with the same person, but two separate things that happened. And it was really challenging. I felt like I was like broken up by, like divorced by this person because she kind of just dropped off the face of the earth. Like she was doing my email marketing and it was hard to like find another person. And then holding that person, I kind of held that the new person to the standard of the old person. I'm like, oh, this isn't fair, to the new person, but you were kind of tied. And then I had to make a decision where, this original person, the one that kind of left, where she wanted to come back in August. She kind of, reemerged. And I missed her and I really loved her. And I thought she did great work. And I thought, wait a minute, her work is the best. I have to have her back. So I let the, interim person go. And the new person came back. And then basically barely like 2 months later, boom, that was it. It was done. It was over again. And it was hard. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Or I hired a new person in January to do SEO and Google and all of these things I don't understand, but I'm learning, as a business owner. And she really gets it, and she's American, and I really like her. And to be honest, to hire someone who can do all that stuff as an American, it's a lot for me. I need to kind of outsource overseas for those types of jobs. But I really value her work, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna make it work with this person. And I had to make a decision of letting another person kind of go because I thought this person brings something so much more to the table. And also, it's not just what, as a business owner, I think you have to think like it's not just what they're bringing to the table. She's also teaching me so much. Like I'm paying her, but I'm really not paying her anything because I am learning so much from her. Like I'm kind of going to the school of Sarah. That's her name. It's like amazing, like this is not, you can't even put a value on it. So I think that's important. But
Yeah,
it
so
was not, they were not easy decisions because, we're women, we care about things. I like, I look at these people of like, we have this relationship. Oh my gosh. But then sometimes you do have to let somebody go if it's not working out or you're not getting the things you need or where you should be. So those are hard decisions.
They are.
They really, yeah, they're hard.
Yeah, it's like balancing again kind of the humanity of you've built up this relationship versus
Yeah.
maybe like the number side or saying, "Hey, this isn't working." You know, maybe it's nothing to do with them personally, but it's could just be the your focus in the business has shifted or the business has
Yeah.
grown and needs new things.
It needs a little bit more life into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and need
Yeah.
something different in that season.
Yeah. And I was kind of, hemming and hawing about making that decision for so long. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll, it's like anything in your life. Like you have to go clean your closet and you're like, I'll just wait a few more months. Like, let me just close that door.
And then it's been
It's
like 5 years.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm making a donation to these people every month. Like, I can't donate to them. Like, I need to see something here. I was seeing something, but I just didn't think I was getting what I could have been getting. So we'll test it out. We'll see how it goes. But you kind of have to always be trying other things. And then knowing when to kind of, I guess, back out if it's not working or to level up if it is working, of like, okay, now we're going to put more effort into this. So that's kind of been what I've been trying to do. And 2024, like the goals are to be obviously working in the business on like the design side, but really to be doing it more of like, working with the numbers and the analytics and the algorithm and all of the other technical things. Because I didn't realize how hard that part or how important that part is to running a business.
Yeah, you can. You've got to
You
have a
can.
great, high quality product and know who your customer is, but then you also have to figure out how
Yeah.
to reach them.
Oh, yeah. So that's what this year is all about. All about that, the reach.
Yeah. So
So.
how do you know, as a business owner, you have to wear so many hats in the business. So how do you kind of prioritize, you know, what is how do you decide what that main goal is for the year and then prioritize, you know, what pieces you're doing versus what pieces maybe you're hiring somebody else to help you with towards that goal?
So I do all of the design, I do all of the creative, I do the social, I do the videos, I do everything. And I love to do that stuff. Like all of that creative, all of the creative things, that's like my thing. And I have a hard time giving that away to someone. So I'm not giving that away to anybody, but I am giving other things away, like all of that number stuff that I'm not so great at. That's all going away to somebody else. Because I can't do every single thing. Especially that. I definitely cannot do that. I do not have the time to learn it. I will not, I will, it will not ever happen. So, I think that That was really a good move in like kind of doling out responsibilities. But
How do you decide on kind of that big goal for the year?
well, I'm pretty competitive with myself. Like, I'm a pretty competitive person. So I do have my own goals. Like, I want to reach this number for the end of the year that I've been like working towards, but I really want to just get to this number and not like, oh, if I get to this number, I'll be happy. Like, I'm happy already and it's amazing and I'm like feeling so fulfilled and abundant in my brand. But I think getting to this number would just be like, wow, this is awesome. Like, this is really moving along. Like, I am just so excited. You know, like that's kind of how I would feel.
Yeah, it's like a game of like, where can I take this?
My husband, he always says, because he also used to work in fashion as well. And he's like, you know, fashion people are crazy. He's like, every day it would change. Like, sales were amazing today. Oh, we're feeling so good. He's like, and then all of a sudden the next day, sales are terrible and we're scratching the whole line and we're gonna add this and we're gonna do this. He's like, they change their minds like they change their underwear. Like, he's like, that's exactly who you are. Like, if you don't have a sale, you're freaking out. It's the end of the world. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so, you know, like I'm like the epitome of like you can take the girl out of fashion, but like you can't take bigger fashion on. Like, I'm still, even though I'm like running my business from my house in New Jersey, like it's still kind of the same thing in a way, just a different version of it. But I'm like so, you know, you're like so ingrained in that culture. It's funny. So yeah, so getting to like a certain number goal, I think would be like a major win. I did want to say kind of, I guess what your question is about how do you know what to do? I was thinking about it from a design perspective. Because I just had a call on Friday with my friend who's the president of like a very big brand. And we went over my line sheets and she's like, and she's great. Like, she's worked at huge brands. And you know what I think, I'm like, okay, I think we need to do this tee. And she's like, everybody does a tee. Why, what's your so great about your tee? I'm like, well, my tee is great, but I don't know, like what else is great about my tee? She's like, do why is she said, you know, what are your best sellers? And I'm like, oh, my all day active skirt, my knot dress. That was the second thing I said. And she's like, well, I don't see that on your line sheet. Why is that not on your line sheet? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just thought because we introduced a new dress, we don't really need that dress right now. And she's like, Asia, you're telling me that that's one of your best sellers. Who cares if you just introduced another dress? That's your opinion. Like, your customers don't care about your opinion. They care about what they want. I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, put that back on the line sheet right now. I'm like, but it's in black and it's spring. And she's like, it's black. Everybody buys black. Just put it in black. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, like you get also kind of caught up and then you think, oh, I have to introduce something new. And she's like, no, this is amazing. This is what they want. Bring it into this, you know, bring it back, have it in black, have it in another color. Don't let go of it. I'm like, okay.
Don't reinvent the wheel in
Yeah,
this.
I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, well, they want a skirt with a pocket. And she's like, okay, well, what's the best skirt you have? I'm like, it's this new skirt. Okay, add a pocket. Stop thinking so hard about it. Do that and move on. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Great. So it's funny, you know, like you want to like be doing new things. You know, you're like juggling all of your brains here as the business owner. Versus when I was working in corporate, like, sure, I'll do every little fun thing I want to do because it's not my money. I don't know where it's coming from. My boss says it's great. Okay, good. You know, we're just having fun.
Yeah, you're able to. Like when you work full time for another brand as a designer, you can just come up with the creative ideas, but when you're designing for your own brand, you're the one coming up with the creative designs, but also the one looking at the numbers and the sales
Hey,
and
like,
being
it's
like,
got
what
to sell.
makes financial sense here?
I know. So, yes, it's all about learning how to juggle all of the things.
For
Yes.
sure. So what were some of the things, like speaking of the design side, like what does your design process look like and how did you kind of really differentiate your brand when you first started out and even now from the, you know, all the other activewear brands out there? What makes Transcendent Active unique?
So what makes it unique is that it's catering to a modest customer. And when I started exploring what modest activewear, what was on like the modest activewear scene, everything is attached leggings and skirts. And it was not in fabrics that I thought were buttery soft and beautiful and what I would want to put on my skin. It didn't have the fit that I thought it should have. I needed it to be, you know, a more contemporary fit. And it didn't feel like true active wear. It felt like the leggings didn't feel like those were like Nike grade leggings. They were leggings. Okay, fine. They're leggings. And the skirt was fine. It's a skirt. But it didn't have that like performance feature where it had a step up. So I felt like that was missing. And in the beginning, I really did think that a skirt with attached leggings was probably the best bet. I'm like, oh, it's a modest activewear brand. That's a good idea. And then when I started my Instagram without a product, I just started talking to to people who I didn't even know, because I did not know one thing about modest activewear. I had no idea. I just thought, well, I didn't think actually. My friend who, we used to work in design together. And when I lost my job, my last corporate job, she had switched from design to career counseling. And she said, you have to design something that serves your community. And I thought, who is my community? And then I realized, oh, well, I am Jewish. I live in an observant neighborhood. And everybody in my neighborhood is wearing long skirts to go walk in, to go work out in. And they're long and they're heavy and the fabric doesn't do the things that it should be doing. And they don't look like, you know, like official kind of like runners or walkers or worker outers. Like they're just wearing this to serve a purpose. But like, yes, I understand that you have to wear something to serve a purpose, but also what you're wearing should also serve a purpose. So I thought, well, I design activewear. I'm going to design this modest activewear. And that's kind of really how it all came to be. So in the beginning, when I was just like getting to know potential followers and customers and people online, they said that they didn't like skirts with leggings attached. And I was kind of shocked. And they were like, well, no, I like my leggings a certain way. And like leggings are like jeans, you know, like you have your love with your leggings. Like, and I do sell leggings. And sometimes, you know, maybe I wear a size, you know, someone could wear a size medium in a legging and a large in a skirt. It's not always the same size. And you don't wash things the same way. Okay, so my customers, you know, I don't know, they weren't my customers yet, but they were my friends online. And they said, we don't want it attached. And then I started thinking, I'm like, wait a minute, this makes way more sense. First of all, it's going to be much more cost effective for me to make two separate pieces. And it goes with my whole sustainable ethos, because you're going to wash certain garments less and you're going to be able to mix and match. And if you're just wearing that one thing, you're not really mixing and matching. You're just tied to that one thing. So like, say it's in a color that you're not into that color anymore, then you're kind of done with that. Or, you know, it can't be like worn in a different way. And really Transcendent is all about wearing the pieces in your collection with everything else that you own, and being able to dress it up, to go out and work out in it, to dress it up, to go to work, to go out for dinner. It's not just it's not an active wear only. It's athleisure, it's lifestyle. Like I'm running out in it, I'm running errands, I'm going literally running in it, and then I'm running out to a date. So like it's all in the same pieces. So I thought, that just sounded like a much more of a sustainable win. And it kind of came to be of like, you know, it all started from like listening to a customer, listening to people. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's so key of, like you said at the beginning, knowing who your customer is, because had you not had those conversations, you would have probably just done what all the other modest active brands do, and you would have missed out on this thing that made your brand unique.
And then it's funny because I realized last week I teach a ton of yoga, and I was teaching a private to this prenatal private group, and they're all I would say that they're all modest dressers, but when most of my classes, when if they are modest dressers, they do come into class wearing a skirt and then they take it off and then they're practicing in leggings, just because it's all girls. Some people still practice in a skirt, but there was this one client, and she was in a leggings with a skirt. And first I was like, okay, wait, she should be wearing transcendent, which I've just been saying, but whatever. I can't like be forced. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I realized, I was like, teaching a class, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, why is this girl? And then it was like so dumb that I didn't think about it. I'm like, oh yeah, because she didn't take off her skirt because she can't take off her skirt. It's attached to her leggings. And then I was like, that's annoying. Like it's fine, but you're not like it's that one garment. Like it is fine and it totally serves a purpose. But I was like, oh yeah, that is another reason why it is nice to have it detached, because then you can mix and match and you're just tied right now to this one thing. So I didn't realize it for like since she's been coming to the class. And then it just like kind of dawned on me. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why. So it's like another thing, another reason why I think it's good to have it separate.
I would totally agree with that. It's like more functional. You can wash the leggings more often. You can get a different color skirt, but still wear it with black leggings or whatever.
Whatever you want. Or, in the spring and summer, then when I sell bike shorts, then you're wearing it with bike shorts underneath. And also in certain climates, you don't want to wear leggings all the time because it's really, really hot. So, but yeah, that's really how to talk about, how I came up with the brand and, who the customer is and really filling a niche, which, I do understand like modest activewear is still very much, a niche market. But I
But
think
there's
the
a
way
lot of
that
people within that niche.
and the way that I market it as I hope, it's coming across is that modest to a non-modest customer feels like very like dumpy and dated. But when I think that you see transcendent, I don't think that you even think of it. You're like, oh wow, okay, great. I can do that. And like the modest is like an afterthought of like, oh, as like someone maybe coming to me who is not, needing to be modest. They're just like, oh wow, this is a great brand. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That was kind of my impression. I'm not sure if I realized it was like modest when I first kind of ran across your brand, but I didn't say like, oh, this is for somebody who needs
Who's
to.
not me?
And I'm not the person, you'll never see me out in like sports bra and leggings, because to me, I don't want to show that much skin out in
And a lot of
public.
people are like that. It's not every customer I have is not, needs to be modest, letter of the law kind of person. They're just like, oh, I don't like to show my leg, or oh, I don't like to show this part of my arm. Like, women, everybody's got their things. Like, oh, I hate the way this looks on my body. And then I look at them, I'm thinking, really? You look great, but this is what people think of their own, of their own beings. And that's fair. So it's really of like what you're comfortable with. And even though, society kind of shows us that like women, in order to be seen, we have to show less in order to be seen. But I think that, most, I don't think the majority of women are really like that. I think they are not showing every single thing, especially as we age and get older and our bodies change. Most people are not really showing everything.
Yeah, for me it's
So,
often a if I'm outside, I get sunburned very easily. So it's like I'm not gonna wear this because then I have to put sunscreen on or I'm gonna get sunburned. So it's not worth it.
I know
But
it's not worth it. So I think people will come to the brand for a bunch of different reasons. But I hope that it looks like everybody can come to the brand. It's not
Yeah,
just
definitely.
one type of person.
Cool. So very quickly, you've been talking about sustainability a lot, and with kind of an activewear product, it's often so often made of polyester fibers and whatever. So, like, how do you approach sustainability within your activewear brand?
So I buy all recycled poly. I also buy all dead stock fabric. So it's all leftover fabric that the mills already have and they can sell in small quantities to small brands. So those are my ways of winning at sustainability and, doing the efforts that I can do. I also make up in small batch production and I care about it being made in America because it lowers the carbon footprint of shipping it from, somewhere very, very far away. So those are really the things that I'm kind of focusing on when it comes to sustainability and also the packaging. I buy all of my packaging from a company that makes everything in Colorado. They're based in Boulder and they make in Boulder. And it's all from post-consumer recyclables. And I only pack in tissue paper. Most companies, you're going to send it, they'll send it to you in a poly mailer bag and then they put it in another poly bag.
I hate that.
That kills me.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't have that. My factories don't ship in plastic bags. They ship in a box with paper, and then I ship that product out in tissue paper in, only one poly bag. And it has a dual seal, so in case they need to make a return, at least we're using the same bag over. But those are, the wins that I think that I'm making. And even though sometimes I do think, like say the packaging, oh, it's small. It's like a small little sustainable win. When I get things from other people, I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. It's like, even though my little, my small changes in my brand, like it feels way louder, and making a bigger statement because it's so much like all you, when you open a package, all you hear is like crunch, 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 Like, oh my
Yeah.
God,
Well, and it's
what a
those
weight.
small steps that make a
Yeah,
big
that makes a
impact,
difference. Yeah.
like repeated.
Yeah. So that's really how I'm focusing on it. I am trying to do more, if I can and if it is possible to do more Tencel or natural fibers, but for right now it's really all recycled poly.
Yeah, I love the steps that you're taking, like, intentionally towards a sustainable business. So, I have one question that I ask everyone at the end of the interview, which
Oh, great.
is, if you could communicate one value to the world through the clothes you design, what would it be?
I guess it would be staying true to who you are. And you're kind of making me think that because you kept saying a lot in the beginning of values, values. And, everybody, I think a lot of people change things, to be with this person or to be in this group or in that group or in this job. And people really can kind of see that. But when you, hold true to who you are and stand firm and know that those are your priorities and everyone else sees that, they take you more seriously. People like can trust you more and you're happier and like a genuine happiness, not just like, a
You have everything that other people think you should have, yeah.
like a real sense of gratitude, because that's kind of like the strongest thing. And no one can take those things away from you. Everyone can take a bunch of other things away from you, but your values and your integrity, they can't take away. So that's really what I would say is the hardest part, especially as a business owner. If you're starting something, don't just let, because we can let so many people say, yeah, you're going to do it this way. Yeah. And like, you get so excited. And like, you're kind of like fooled by the smoke and mirrors. That's happened to me so many times. But you have to just think like, okay, nope, this is, I gotta stay in my lane. This is like why I came here. This is what I'm here to do. So we think that that's important.
Yeah, that's huge. I love
Yeah.
that. Well, this has been so fun, Asia, to hear more
Thank
about
you,
you
Allison.
and
This is so
Transcendent.
nice.
Where can people find out more about the brand online?
So they can visit transcendentactive.com. Also, my Instagram, it's Transcendent Active. My Facebook, Transcendent Active, and TikTok as well. And I'm on Pinterest and LinkedIn, all using the same handle. So you can
Cool.
just
Easy to find you.
put it in. And hopefully, when you type it into Google, it'll definitely come up first, but it'll even come up in so many other ways because I hired an amazing SEO person. So
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'll put
the
links in the
goal of
show notes.
2024. Yes,
Yeah. Well,
I'm
good luck with all of that. This has been so amazing. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
you.
This
Oh,
was
this
fun.
was so great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And best of luck to you too.
Oh, thank you. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. If you'd like more episodes and resources like this about growing a fashion business that fits your customer, lifestyle, and values sent straight to your inbox, you can sign up for my email list at howfittingpatterns.com/newsletter. Again, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for the next episode of How Fitting.